Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone. I'm Paula Keoki, CEO of Outward Media, and this is the Marketing Vanguard Leading Voices in B2B Innovation podcast. Today, our guest is a fractional CMO and consultant, David Zimmerman, who's been in the industry quite a while. Thank you for joining, David.
Thank you for having me.
And David has a deep experience in helping brands turn strategy into results and does a little bit of everything, but main focus or has been a main focus is integrating SEO, paid search, and content strategy. And if that branches out into other areas of online marketing, then David is well-versed. So welcome, David.
Thank you.
So you've worked across industries and seen a range of tech stacks.
Yeah.
What tools or platforms have genuinely moved the needle when it comes to driving quality engagement that you've seen?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of my clients will ask that. And I hate to disappoint them, but it very rarely has to do with the tech stack.
Okay.
It's about getting good marketing together.
Okay.
I have a lot of tools I use on a regular basis behind the scenes, but rarely are they making the difference if they don't have a good marketing strategy or understand their audience well. I know especially when I do search, people mystify it. Ooh, magical SEO. Mm-hmm. It's just good marketing. It's speaking to your customers the way they speak about you so that you can make the connection with what they're looking for. If you don't have that together, the best tech stack ever isn't going to help you connect them. But the tech stack can help you once you get that together.
Okay.
And so for most cases, even though I work with clients with budgets, like the free tools like Google Search Console, Google Analytics can get companies a long way before they really have to start ponying up money for platforms.
Okay.
But if you wanted to spend money, a good email platform is worth it.
What is it?
Yeah. So I like ActiveCampaign.
Okay. And is that an email deployment?
Yeah. Okay. It's an email platform, but it also does automations. So you can set up a drip campaign. Unfortunately, it seems to me that a lot of companies chintz out on email.
Okay.
They'll be like, oh, I'll just use constant contact's pretty.
You're speaking our language. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's
good.
That's what we specialize in, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Constant contact, like I said, most of the platform doesn't make the difference. It's how you use it. Mm-hmm. So if a client's using Constant Contact, well, great, we're using it. We may eventually reach a point where we've outgrown it. That's great. That's success, right? Mm-hmm. But we want to be able to make sure we're using it right. I have a client using Zoho.
Yep.
Again,
that's more CRM, though.
Yeah. Fine CRM. And I, as your FCMO, I'm not going to tell you to switch your stack to work with me. But we got to understand the limitations of those systems, right? And the fact that some of these CRMs and HubSpot is the worst of it. They make all these huge promises. If you use our CRM, it'll just solve all your problems. No, you have to implement it and have your marketing together. I've seen claims from Salesforce saying, oh, let's double your leads or whatever they claim. The fact is that Salesforce does a great job getting more out of the leads you got already, but doesn't necessarily help you acquire additional leads. And that's the piece they don't tell you.
Okay.
So use the system, but don't think just spending money on a tool is going to solve your marketing problems.
Now, do you work in the area of new customer acquisition, or is it more the top and middle of the funnel type work?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Right? So a lot of times clients will hire me for lead acquisition.
Okay.
They often will, it'll be a salesperson, head of sales will hire me because their company is getting some, they don't have a full-time marketing team yet, but they need help acquiring more sales leads. So what we're going to do is we're going to help set them up for success there. But Why would we walk away from getting more out of the existing customers we already have? Why would we not focus on that? And so that's what we try to do, is help you get more sales leads, whether those are new people who've never heard of you before. That's a lot of what I do. But I don't want to walk away from money from existing customers either. So let's figure out how we're going to get these people into your sales funnel.
So now in the acquisition email campaigning, have you found it to be getting more difficult to get the emails delivered? Because we're experiencing that and we built our own platform for it.
Yeah, it's become a challenge. I just was encountering this the other day where a list looked like the click rate was really high. I was like, wow, this is great. And you look at it, and it's auto clickers of anti-spam programs who are checking the links.
You figured it out.
So
A lot of people
that's
don't know that.
right. That's why the data is the value, the power of what we do for digital marketing is the ability to measure. But we got to be careful about measuring and focusing on the wrong metric. Sometimes clients are only about what's my open rate? What's my click-through rate? What's the number of people on my list? Those are all great, but what we want to know is how many people move down to actually accomplish the final goal? How many customers did we get? How many dollars in sales did we get? If we focus on the preliminaries, that's part of the equation, but we sell ourselves short and we don't follow that through as close to the income as possible. So we don't want to just stop with, we got a lead. I use a CRM that helps us be able to say, this lead came from what source of traffic, but eventually became a $50,000 project or a $100,000 system or whatever. So then we can then reverse in and say, boy, we got a lot of touches on email, but we only made $1,000 last month. But our paid search campaign, less clicks, but we made $100,000 from that. We spent $10,000 in Google Ads. Man, I'd make that exchange all day long. 10,000 for 100,000. I'd keep doing that. And as long as we can do that and use the power of digital marketing and its ability to track, we can just print money.
I feel like, though, that the channels can support themselves. One of the things that we started doing last year was, and it was very successful, is triggering a programmatic ad on an email open, or vice versa. A programmatic ad triggers the email within 24 hours. It makes that more of an omni-channel experience.
That is when I got started in all this digital marketing stuff. It was very much the last click gets you your customer, but customers, especially in the B2B space, are much more sophisticated and they know the first contact isn't the best contact. I run into this all the time when it comes when my clients, I should say, it's not that they don't trust me, it's that they're stuck in their old ways. They'll say, hey, client. New customer or lead that they just acquired. Hey, new lead, how did you hear about us? And the lead will say, I heard about you from Facebook. Well, our lead attribution says it was Google and Google Organic at that. The problem is the answer isn't clear to the new customer because is the answer to that question, what's the first time you heard of us? Maybe you heard of us on a Facebook ad. Then you clicked in and you got on our email list. Okay. And then you followed our email for a few months and you clicked a link in the email to get a free download of something. Okay, great. And then we retargeted you with a Google ad. And then we saw you. And then one day you're like, I need that solution. And you Googled a navigational search for a brand. Who gets credit for the lead? All those touches along the way, and you're asking the customer to answer a very sophisticated question. Like they just say Facebook because they don't,
They
you're
don't
putting
know.
the onus of your marketing on your customer, which I really hate. Especially because we can tell you how that works out. That's the value of modern marketing. So rather than ask your customer and think, oh, let's put more money in Facebook, reality, Facebook was part of that. But the final sale came from, in this case, from the remarketing. But it's going to be really hard to see that because the last click is Google search, blah, 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 blah. And so that's the power. And the reality is people have multiple touches, and you, it's not always clear to them how they first heard about you. Mm-hmm. When you ask them, how did you hear about us?
You forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. So that's why we need to set up the tracking all the way to not only lead, but the closed sale. So we know what's mm-hmm. working and what's not.
Have you done any work with email combined with LinkedIn?
I have not, actually. I'd love to hear more about that.
Oh, yeah. We're supposed to be asking you questions.
Oh, okay.
We can discuss that. Basically, we've been testing out in the last year doing email and then also having, because we build a custom audience.
Yeah.
You can upload it on LinkedIn so you know who the audience is versus
right.
building it in the black box. And
yeah.
You can track back, which is what you were mentioning. So
yeah.
we're finding that in the last year is working really well. So we can talk about that.
That's great, because I find LinkedIn tends to be a very expensive click. Mm-hmm. But if you have a captive audience in your email list already, to market to people who already know you, who you don't have to overcome that trust factor. They're already on your list. They already know you. They bought in enough to your brand to trust mm-hmm. you. Man, what a great way to reach people on a very valuable platform.
It is a valuable platform. I agree.
Than just casting widely. Hey, I want to speak to everybody in the aerospace industry.
Yeah.
Oh, good luck with that. Like, good luck convincing people you're trustworthy and not just another crazy ad on LinkedIn.
Now, what about Meta? Are you doing a lot of work with Meta?
Oh, with mail?
Meta.
Meta.
Not
no,
really.
Because I mostly work in the B2B space.
Yeah,
because
we find the match rates to Meta when we match our data to Meta, it's pretty low.
Right.
Yeah.
I tell my clients, we could try any crazy idea you have, but we're going to measure it. So if a client said, we want to go on Meta, I'd say, okay, but we're going to know if it works and we're going to know the ROI mm-hmm. because it might be something unique about your B2B to business that somehow resonates on Facebook or Instagram or something. Okay, I don't want to miss that, but I also don't want to rely on the rumor of the colleague of yours who worked for a competitor who says Facebook worked really well for us. I don't know what that means. What does Facebook
either.
Work well for us? So let's know if it works for us too before we pony up. And so if we know that we spent this much, we made this much, and that's something we can continue. I'm not so proud that I will say, hey, you're right. Facebook's doing really well for us. Let's keep doing it.
Well, to your point, a couple of times I've said, I don't think that campaign's going to work. And I've told the customer that, and then it worked. As marketing is about constant testing and testing again and again, because things change. Now, you mentioned about the links being clicked on. How do you solve for that when you're doing an email campaign?
I just use a grain of salt to interpret that data. I also will, because I'm using Google Analytics on my clients' sites or landing pages, I'm going to add the Google Analytics UTM codes and all those clicks.
Okay.
So what that does is I can go into Google Analytics and I can see the actual number of people who have clicked from an email. That is a lot harder to spoof from a anti-spam bot perspective because of the way Google Analytics works. So I can then use and compare click numbers in my email platform against what I actually received in terms of visitors.
Okay.
And sessions. So then I know, okay, Zoho said there were 100 clicks. In reality, there were 20 clicks. However, two of those clicks became new leads and one of them became a new sale. So now I got a 10% conversion rate off an email. That's great. And 5% customer acquisition rate. That's pretty good too. And it's worth doing. But
so
those
UTM
codes are not to be underestimated.
Are you doing that manually then?
It depends on the platform. So Zoho and Constant Contact, unfortunately, have to do manual.
Yeah.
But others, even MailChimp, if you use MailChimp, even MailChimp will do it automatically for you if you set the variable. Active Campaign, which is my platform of choice.
Okay.
If you say this is the name of the campaign, it sets it up. It has the added advantage of not only being able to check the click-through rate from the platform, but the other advantage is in Google Analytics, Google doesn't always consolidate all the referral links from different email platforms. Some of them might be Gmail, might be Yahoo. So it's hard to say, well, how is the effectiveness of this overall campaign, unless you've set the UTM codes in Google Analytics or in the links to tell Google Analytics, hey, analytics, this is an email, and I'd like you to consider it an email, and it's from this campaign. So we know, okay, everything from this campaign and how it worked on one big dashboard, rather than have to try to figure out different crazy referral codes for different email platforms.
And it's constantly changing. We actually
Right.
had to bring on mail engines specifically for Gmail records. Their content
Right.
and whole different strategy on how to push that mail, et cetera. And then we also built a program to read the clickers that are clicking in 1 second because those aren't real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from a user perspective, it's good because it prevents you from clicking on a link that's malicious or spammy. I get why they're doing it. But because I'm trying to make sure these leads are producing these emails are producing leads, simply adding the UTM code helps me get down to that final path. So that solves the problem as far as my needs for my clients to be able to make the lead attribution.
And because I read on your bio that you get involved in the content strategy portion of it, and that's probably at the very beginning, I would think. How do you approach that with your clients? Because a lot of them, they want to get something out, but
right,
the messaging, they don't know how to do it. Yeah.
I tell my clients, I have an insatiable need for content and they all want to write their own stuff.
Oh, sorry.
Good luck. I've been doing this for many years. I've never seen a client produce more than two anything, articles, videos, whatever. So I maybe this is too wonky, but I get my build into my budget, a project budget that I can pay writers on their behalf to keep things moving.
Yeah.
Now, the problem, of course, is they're the specialist in their business. And some of the B2B companies are so niche, they can barely explain to their family what they do, let alone their customers. My writers are generalists. I don't have a writer who's a specialist in SaaS software that focuses on automation of widgets. I don't have a writer like that specific, but I got writers who are curious. And so we've set up various systems to allow our writers to learn about the client's industry from the client's voice. And I'll tell you what the secret is. It's basically, if you give me a 15-minute interview with anybody on your team, and I'll take anybody. I'll take salespeople. Salespeople are really good at
Oh,
this.
Yeah. They know.
Engineers,
yeah.
What VPs of whatever. Give me 15 minutes. I can produce from 15 minutes at least two pieces of content per writer. Sometimes if it's a good 15-minute interview, I can give the same interview to another writer and say, I need some more. We write it, but I want my clients to review it before it goes out because they are the experts.
Yeah.
And I want to publish it in their name. So if they're a Yankees fan, I don't want to mention the Red Sox.
That's right. Or the Mets.
That's a real problem. Sorry. But things like that. So now I'd say sometimes the temptation in the modern world is to overcome that with learned language model writing, using ChatGPT to write your articles. Yeah, not a good idea. If the future is learned language models like ChatGPT or Perplexity or whatever, they don't want to be using LLM generated content to feed their algorithm. So if you as a company take the time to write your own stuff or hire a writer who can write it for you, even if they're ghostwriting for you, if you take that time now, it'll pay off for you not only now, but later as it's the clients who want to cut corners, the companies who say, oh, I got no time to write this, ChatGPT, write me a blog post about this. That's eventually going to come back to bite them because the LLMs are going to ignore that content because it's ultimately not saying anything new.
Okay.
I think people get confused with LLMs and they think, oh, it's an artificial intelligence. It's smart. It's not. It's a statistical model predicting what is the most likely next word in the sentence.
Okay.
So it can't really say anything new. It can only rewrite old ideas.
Mm.
So
that's That's important to know.
It really is.
And I don't think a lot of people know that.
No, I had the privilege in February going up to Google Search Central Live in New York City. Google did an event for search people and I got to go and it was great. The most hilarious, there are many things there, lots of stories, but the most hilarious things was John Mueller, head of Google search team, saying, this is why we can't give you SEOs good things. We wrote an article a long time ago that says AI content's okay. You took that to mean write AI content, and you've written a bunch of AI content. That's not what we meant. Stop thinking that we think it's acceptable is very different from you should do it. In fact, he pointed out something that's really, really getting into the weeds of SEO, but there's a document called the Google Manual Review Guidelines, which is how human beings review Google search results.
Okay.
That guideline specifically says any AI content is automatically considered the lowest quality content.
Wow.
So, major lesson is if you cut corners, it's not going to help you. So, if that means you've had to hire a writer, you have to hire my team to write for you, if it's worth it. It's slow. It's hard. It's hard for your competitors too. Let them take the shortcuts and become irrelevant. Let's do the long, hard stuff and win in the long term because we're not going for the flash in the pan.
Not here for the short term, for sure. And I think that's great counsel to give your clients, even though they may not necessarily want to hear it. Because we work with writers too. I agree with you. We're running out of time, but I got one more question for you. So
absolutely.
If we were to fast forward 2 years, what's your bold prediction about what will define successful B2B marketing? If
I, yeah, I think that successful B2B marketing will still be measured by lead acquisition.
Okay.
And it will be even more important because the total platforms by which we could get traffic or impressions is going to be multiplying. And in a way, even hard to see. We're seeing this right now with learned language models like ChatGPT. We're losing insight into how they're finding us. We can still see they come to us from ChatGPT, but we don't know what they Googled on ChatGPT
to get there
to find us.
Yeah.
So we're getting leads from ChatGPT. That's great. But the visibility is a lot slower. So if we're still stuck in a where do I rank model, how many impressions did I get model of measuring success, those are the marketers are freaking out right now because those are gone. We're not able to see those in the next 5 years. But we will always know how many customers did we get and from how many leads and from where basically they came from. That should still be around. And so if we pivot now to set the C-level people's expectations on what success looks like for online marketing away from vanity metrics, rank and click-through rates, and into hey, this is how many leads we got and here's how many sales we closed from those leads,
yep.
You're going to find yourself successful over the next 5 years and beyond.
Yeah. What we call performance marketing.
What a concept.
Yeah, which is what we've been held to.
I
always thought it was interesting. And I'm not against branding, but it's just, we're just branding. So we're just going to do a bunch of stuff and then there's no accountability. Now, obviously when we're involved in those, it's like easier because I'm not being held in anything. We're not being held.
Right.
But we're hardcore performance marketing people.
Yeah.
And that's, we wanted to give that ROI to the customer and prove it out. The different strategies that we come up with. So this has been, we went over time, which I'm happy about, but I'd like to know how people are able to reach you if they want to have a chat with you because you're extremely knowledgeable.
Thank you.
How can they find you?
Yeah, the easiest way to get a hold of me is going to my website, reliableacorn.com.
Okay.
That's where you can learn about what I can do and connect with me directly,
okay.
Especially if you're having a hard time just basically understanding the ROI of your marketing efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help you set that up for you.
Okay.
Even if that's the only way we work, because I want you to know what's working. So you spend the money on it and maybe stop spending money on things that don't work so well.
Do you have an email address too you want to share?
Yeah, just contact me through my website. That would be the
Okay,
best thing. There's a
perfect.
contact button. There's a phone number right there. I'd
Okay.
love to be in touch with you that way.
You've been a wealth of information and highly energetic, which I enjoy. And I appreciate your time today so much, David.
Thank you, Paula. It's nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.